Right now, we go to the KODY phone lines. We have State Senator Mike Groney joining us. Good morning, Senator Groney. How are you today?
Thank Christine in my office. She just sent me a text. I better call in.
Hey, it's good to have that quality staff in the office. We know they're working hard there for you at the Capitol.
Yes. You got a little bit of an echo.
Oh, bad, that might be a little better, Senator.
All right, thanks.
You betcha.
Beautiful day. Looked like North Platte got some rain last night.
If we did, it was very minimal. Well, yeah, we did. It came in quick and didn't last very long.
All right, I wasn't in the area, but somebody sent us a post. We need rain, and we got a lot in June.
Yep.
But that's normal. Anyway, I wish I could tell you I knew a lot, but the whole country's in a flux. But I told my wife the other day, remember, rural Nebraska, this hasn't affected us. We watch too much national news.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on is in the cities. That's why we live in rural Nebraska.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's all going to come and hit us. So when we get back to the legislature, there's a couple of senators going to concentrate on it. And, I'll be blunt, Black Lives Matter, all life matters, the unborn, and all innocent life matters. But I do have a problem with the organization called Black that has stolen that idea and used it as their organizational name. There's real concerns about what their mission is. I don't know if it reminds me of I did learn history in my rural school of the labor movement in the 1900s where the good movement needed to be done. You worked for the railroad, you lost a hand, you got fired that afternoon. There was an inequity going on in management and labor, but it was hijacked a little bit by the Communist Party back then, and because they knew they could use it for unrest. And in the end of the day, the communists and the socialists were all kicked out of the movement. But I see a little bit of that in this, what's happening now. Anarchists have found a home and hiding behind a need that needs to be addressed. But anyway, I hope we can have that debate. And Lincoln went out screaming and yelling and finger-pointing and racist and demanding apologies and off with their head when you... one of the things I see here, the biggest concerns of mine, is the attack on free speech and open debate. It's pretty ugly, and it's not good for society. It's not good for America. Well, some of us are probably going to have to stand up and take a little heat, but we'll try. Otherwise, other things, local issues, I was wanting to say, and it disturbs me a little bit about our local school district, about closing these schools, but they're not closing them. They're starting. The big issue the public should be concerned about is the idea that we're going to have preschools, public education. Yes, it's allowed, and 4-year-olds are now allowed, and they get 60% of their cost accounted in the state formula. But I don't remember hearing that debate. That is a huge debate when you start putting 4-year-olds in a public institution. What ties back to what we just talked about? Who's teaching their morals? Who's teaching that young person's forming that person's character? Do we want government employees doing that at the age of 4? A lot of them are good. Some have also their own political bent. They want to, and religious doctrine. They want to teach 4-year-olds. And remember, Jesus isn't allowed in a public school, and that's not the employee's fault. But I have a real concern with that. I just don't see the necessity of it. We have the Head Start program. We have that. We get very good preschools in the community, and a lot of churches have theirs where they can talk about issues and religion and things. But when you start offering free public preschool, what's a young family going to do? They're tight. Their budgets are tight. They're going to be swayed towards putting their children into those institutions, that institution. I just think a community, when they decide to do that, should have more of a debate than what I've seen on this issue. But if they were closing, good permanently, then fine. I mean, I understand that enrollments drop. We've got a lot of option kids out of our community, and but they're not closing it. They're continuing it onward with expansion of public education. And as education chair, I've always had my doubts about this, teaching potty training in a public institution. So, that's some of the questions you ought to ask your school board members. How did this all happen? How did it move so fast? They've sold the thing on where we have to close the schools because of enrollment, but said very little about expansion of the preschool. That's a huge issue, folks. A social issue that should affect everybody who goes to church on Sunday morning. Who do you want teaching four-year-olds there in the way they should go? I'm concerned about that. I wish Mom did it. I wish Dad could do it, but our society is disrupted enough that we need someplace, others to step in. But who do we want doing that? That's an issue. I'm not sure. I might have to go to Lincoln at the end of the week. There's some activities happening with the property tax issue, and I need to be face-to-face with some folks. And July 20th, I keep saying the 17th, but it's the 20th, and then we go back for 17 days.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on us fast. Still working on some things. So, locally, I urge people to start investigating the candidates that are on the ballot for November, and budgets are coming, folks. It's time now to call your city council person. It's time now to call your county commissioner, your school board member, and say no, absolutely no increase in property taxes. In fact, we want a decrease. We want you to tighten your belt. It's time to take a couple of steps back and if nothing else, eliminate some services, but cut our taxes because we can't afford them in this economic times. But those budgets are being formed right now, and there's going to be raises, of course, because those were negotiated earlier, but they need to look into next year or so to kind of freeze the flow that was down there. I love my government employees. I almost wish I'd have been one because it's pretty... And you get my age, pretty good retirements and things happen when you're in government service and your jobs are protected. And remember, all those folks also got a $1,200 check in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And other benefits, but they didn't lose their job or didn't get laid off or have their pay cut. So a pause by some of the local, asking our public servants to take a pause in pursuit of higher wages for a year or two wouldn't hurt either. And I say that because 80% of all government is wages, services. There's a few that aren't, the street department and roads departments use a lot of their money towards inputs. But that's, you got to be proactive. I mean, or else you're going to get what you're going to get. And that's more of the same, and we can't afford that anymore, at least for now. And that's the way the attitude is going to have to be at the state level, too. There's going to have to be some cuts on peripheral areas where we can, I call it where if we cut it, you wouldn't notice. I mean, and sadly, there's an awful lot in government where if it disappeared, the average citizen wouldn't even know it existed in the first place because they just do not use that service or care to. And I'm not talking about the basics on roads and public safety. We need to keep that up and running and make those people proud of what they do. But I don't know how else to say it. We got to be honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We've lived beyond our means here in the last 20 years. This generation has, and it needs to stop. It's starting to hurt the economy too. Is there anything going on back there that you've heard about? Or?
Well, not a whole lot right now, Senator Groney. Want to get your thoughts, though, as the chairperson of the Education Committee in the Nebraska unicameral. Thoughts on the recent announcement from the president of the university about the possible budget cuts that will impact campuses in Lincoln, Omaha, and Kearney?
Yes, I met Ted Carter. I've talked to him on the phone a couple times because I'm education chair. I like the guy. He's the right man at the right time. He's got coming out of the service. He's got discipline. He understands budget, and he understands what needs to be done and what doesn't. And he's going the right track. He's like I just said, he's proactive. He's cut his own staff in his office by 10%. That you know, and that's 9 people. And talk about bloated. I mean, you got the president's office has 90 people in it.
Wow.
Yeah, that should tell you something. But that was prior to him. He's cutting back, and they're going to have to because things have changed. Attitudes have changed of citizens and the young people about education. Peer pressure always said you got to go to a campus, but now with this, there's an excuse to say, no, I'm going to do it online. I'm going to do, you know, half and half, half online and half in class. And there's a lot of mixtures you can get in education now. And he's, he did protect, I did tell him, I said, I don't know if I had any effect. I doubt it. But he talks to a lot of people. I told him when I talked to him, I said, what you don't want to do is cut extension and you don't want to cut Curtis, I said, because we used to be loyal, rural Nebraska, so we don't get the jobs and things and, the economic activity from the university like Lincoln, Kearney, and, Omaha does. And, I said, but be careful about cutting rural Nebraska. I said, we used to be loyal to you because we had a good football team, but that isn't true anymore. He just laughed. I said, if you want rural Nebraska, we've been cut enough. Nebraska is a land-grant university, and that we need to focus on that. We'll let Stanford find a cure for cancer, and they'll let us use it in Nebraska, but they won't find a better wheat variety to feed the world. Anyway, but he didn't cut extension, and he didn't cut Curtis, so I was glad to see that.
Yeah.
We've been cut big time the last 20 years, big time. Anyway, but hopefully we see more rational thinking like that with some of the people we've got hired as public servants to run our institutions across the board, HHS and prisons and all the way down the line to the public health services, local ones, and all the way down to mayor's office and tourism bureaus and county commissioners and school boards. He did the right thing. That's, you know, he cut 50 ahead of that, but they lost 50 the year before. And then, so this idea of a mass of people going to one institution, I think will change. Public schools, we're going to have to come to an understanding that people will get the virus, will be contacted with the virus. But debts are way down. Debts are down. Because they found ways to treat the symptoms, not cure the disease, but treat the symptoms. And I don't know. I look at it two ways. If we can have, if the test results are up, it could be thought of as a good thing because that herd immunity, we're going to have to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to protect everybody from not being contacted with this virus eventually in an open society. And numbers are coming in, 80% of anybody under 30 or 40 is asymptomatic. You know what I mean? They get it, but they don't show symptoms. And it's our weak. Those of us who have weak immune systems, we are going to get hit, and a big percentage of them are surviving it now too because of what we're doing. So it's been managed. It's being managed well. You know, Governor Ricketts did a pretty good job, actually. He reached this, pushed it to the breaking point, but our economy, we have the lowest unemployment in the nation. We've geared up the medical industry. Research has figured ways to address the symptoms so we can get through it. Our immune systems can win the battle, and I think we're doing just fine. Good to see some baseball, Legion baseball in the paper being covered, and softball tournaments being scheduled, and letting our youth continue on what they need to be doing, living their lives. You know, back to the schools, there's just going to have to be an acceptance. We cannot shut down the whole school if one teacher or one student tests positive to the virus. We're just going to have to accept it and, you know, send them home, isolate them. But I don't see how you can make all those kids wear masks. They won't. I just met with the head of the school board association. Their big concern is liability. That's one of their biggest ones. Their insurance company won't hire it. We all know there's some lawyers sitting back here just being chained back because they do have a little bit of, all lawyers, 90% of lawyers are good folks. I'm not attacking them. I use them myself, but there's those, you know, they're vultures and they're waiting, sitting back. And I'm sure we're going to see a TV commercial sooner or later saying, did you child attend a school and then the teacher tested positive and showed up for work anyway? Call us. We'll sue. Did a child, a 5-year-old come to school, didn't wear their mask, took their mask off and was tested positive and somebody else caught it. Tell us that experience and we'll sue for you. Long story short, they're worried about the liability of this, which I am dumbfounded to think there should be any liability. We are talking about a natural occurrence, and that we don't, an act of God. I don't know how you could turn that into a responsibility of somebody to sue over it. But they are concerned about it because there will be attempts. You know that. I guess there already is across the country. And I'm really concerned about this shaming thing by the fear factor about wearing a mask. At this, you know, when what scare? There's a lot of things scare me. When we have our medical professional, the top immunologist, sitting there saying that the mask is not necessary. It doesn't change things that much. And then all of a sudden, a week later, because they're being shamed, they distort it and come back and say you should wear one. There's something wrong with that, folks. We rely on these people to tell us the facts, not to be too politically expedient to say something that I don't know how to say it better than to intimidate, to take away your rights by fear. Yeah, that's what it should be, something America should never tolerate. But it is what it is. I was in Walmart in McCook the other day because I was passing through and nobody wore a mask. Nope. The Walmart clerks didn't wipe off the belt when you checked out. The Walmart employees had masks on, but that's a big gathering point for that Red Willow County, and they have a very low infection rate.
Yeah, so for the entire area.
Yeah. But it is what it is. I can't sum it up better than that. So I think things are going along smoothly. Nature happens. We react, and I think Nebraska's in a good place right now as far as the COVID-19.
I would agree.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so, Senator Groney. Anything else on your mind today?
No, I talked too much already. Probably got myself in trouble at least 3 times. I contradicted myself another 3, so I ought to be okay.
Yeah, it could always be worse.
All right. Well, thank you guys for taking my call, unless you have something else.
I don't think so. Always appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again next Monday, Senator.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. That again, State Senator Mike Groney joining us here on KODY's Mugs in the Morning, discussing our weekly unicameral update with the Education Committee Chair and Lincoln County Representative Mike Groney. Time now to step aside for a quick commercial break here on Mugs in the Morning. Check up news coming up around the corner, and also a crack open of the KODY phone lines coming up just around the corner here on Mugs in the Morning.